McCall from the United States of America. Stand by, Americans. Stand by, fighting men of the United Nations. Here is Mail Call, one huge package of words and music and laughter delivered to you by the stars from whom you want to hear. And standing at the microphone right now is the personality most requested by you fellows overseas, Bing for Bingo Crosby.
Oh, me name is McNamara. I'm the leader of the band. Although we're few in numbers, we're the finest in the land. We play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball. And when we play for funerals, we play the march from Saul. The drums go bang and the cymbals clang and the horns they blaze away. McCarthy pumps the old bassoon while I the pipes do play. And Hennessy Tennessee tootles the flute and the music is something grand. A credit to old Ireland is McNamara's band.
Got tired of that icky style and decided they wanted to jump. Yeah. They couldn't keep alive playing 6-8 jive for that rooty-tooty bump. Now they're breaking it up at the Jim Jam joints and the annual harvest ball. In Downbeat and the radio pool, they were voted the best of all.
Drums go root, and the trombones zoot, and the trumpets blast away. McCarthy jumps, doing uptown bumps, and the clarinets swing and sway. Hennessy, Tennessee, toodles the flute, and the music is something grand. Credit to old Ireland, it's McNamara's.
McNamara's
is the best band in the land. Music maids and Hal and hi, amen. Got the old groaner playing post office tonight and all ready to start the mail call letter that we've compiled in answer to the letters you've written to Special Service, Los Angeles, USA. We're sort of aiming this whole show tonight at the 2 million guys in the Air Service Command, wherever they might be hanging their gear, at home or overseas. To open up with a buff, here's an outstanding organization, the 370th Army Air Forces Band of the San Bernardino Air Service Command. Sort of to get you jumping with Blue Lou.
Thank you. Yes, sir. That's a hunk of band, isn't it, men? And a highly colorful arrangement, too. Fellas, I want you to meet now a very attractive young lady who has made a big hit this season on the new Eddie Cantor show. May I say she made my eyes pop a little, too. Here's Nora Lou Martin. She's going to sing You'll Never Know.
Never know just how much I care. And if I tried, I still couldn't hide my love for you. You ought to know, for haven't I told you so? Amen. Your name in my every prayer. If there is some other way to prove that I love you, I swear I don't know how. You'll never know if you don't know now.
Send me. I mean, you really do. Now, fellas, especially you guys in Australia, here's John Brownlee, Metropolitan Opera star, who comes from down your way. Take a bow, John.
Thank you, thank you.
John, what are you going to lay on us tonight? I mean, vocalize.
Well, Bing, I'd like to sing that favorite Australian war song, Waltzing Matilda.
Well, may we have it, Johnny?
You may.
Once a jolly swagman camped by a billabong under the shade of the coolabah tree, and he sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled. You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. And he sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled. You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. Down came a jumbuck to drink at the billabong. Up jumped the swaggy and grabbed him with glee, and he sang as he stowed that jumbuck in his tucker bag. You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. And he sang as he stowed that jumbuck in his tucker bag. You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. Up rode the squatter, mounted on his thoroughbred. Down came the troopers, one, two, three. Where's that jolly jumbuck you've got in your tucker bag? You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me.
Waltzing Matilda, Waltzing Matilda, you'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Where's that jolly John Buck you've got in your tucker bag? You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Up jumped the swaggy, sprang into the billabong. You'll never catch me alive, said he, and his ghost may be heard as you pass by that billabong. You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda. You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. And his ghost may be heard as you'll pass by that billabong. You'll come a-waltzing Matilda.
Thank you, John Brownlee. That was elegant. Well, our next male correspondent tonight is Hollywood's great ladies' man. This fellow fractures the females from Vine Street to Figueroa. With his sidekick, John Conte, it's Frank Morgan. Welcome to Mail Call, Frank.
Well, thank you, Bing. You know, I'm glad to be on this program, as I've been working on an invention which all the Army and Navy men will be glad to know about.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Interesting if true, which it probably
is. Now, just a minute, Conte. There's no use your trying to cast slurs upon my veracity. I am an inventor.
Well, Frank, tell us about your invention.
My what? Oh, yes. Well, Bing, I've invented a new and revolutionary set of binoculars.
Binoculars, huh?
Precisely, but not the ordinary kind.
Oh, no.
I've devised a new principle in field glasses, combining the prismatic convex lens with a refracting borosilicate fusible crown and inverting the minifying and magnifying lenses to the B position.
B position? What's that?
Yes. Bottoms up.
Mutton right.
Down the hatch. What are we talking about?
Scotch and soda. Well, look, John, let Professor Morgan continue, huh? In the interest of science.
Well, thank you, Bing. Well, I work continuously with a delectable female assistant. She was a very cooperative girl in a technical sort of way, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. But no matter how hard we toiled, we couldn't seem to discover the new facet that would make my binoculars perfect.
Was she in on the secret, Frank?
To a point, yes. But soon I suspected from her surreptitious actions that she might be in the employ of somebody eager to steal my invention.
No.
So I discharged her the night before my great discovery.
Well, did you find a new twist?
Well, not yet. I've been interviewing girls since... Level! Naturally, I'm not at liberty to divulge the process, but soon the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force will be equipped with the Morgan binoculars. You see, the glass is of a refined...
Hold it, Frank.
What?
How do you happen to know so much about glass?
My dear boy, the molding and manufacturing of glass has been the profession of the Morgan family for generations, and I'm the last of a long line of blowers.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
Jockey, I ignore you. Which is a fad rapidly replacing gin rummy. It's common knowledge that when I was barely a youth, give me two glasses and I'd make a spectacle of myself. Why do they let me say things like that?
I know you'll forgive me, Frank, but as an innocent bystander who was just working his way through the program, I would venture to say that your binoculars are just what the armed forces are waiting for.
They are? I mean, they are. Bing, you are obviously a man of great perspicacity. While this other pale carbon of Sinatra can't see beyond his nose. Now, Bing, shall I tell you of the Morgan telescope?
Pare-do.
Just pull up a chair and relax, Bing. We got
plenty. Yes, pray, be comfortable, my punchin' playmates. Well, have you gentlemen heard of the great 200-inch mirror that's in the observatory at Mount Palomar?
Sure.
Well, I made...
That was made by a glass firm in Buffalo.
Buffaloed already. Yes, well, there's the 100-inch telescope at Mount Wilson.
That was made by the staff of Mount Wilson Observatory with the eyepiece coming from Fall River, Mass.
Yeah.
It's a reflecting-type telescope, and the mirror weighs 4.5 tons.
Yeah,
the work started on it in 1912, and the first observations were made in 1919.
You know about telescopes, convex?
Plenty. I worked on the final annealing of the 40-inch achromatic telescope in the Yerkes Observatory, and I was the first one to look through it.
Oh, one of the first Yerkes. Look, well, as a matter of actual fact, I was not so adept at making the instruments as I was at using them.
Oh, you were an astronomer, eh, Frank?
Well, I don't know. Were you, Jockey?
No.
Well, I was. I think I'm finally out of the woods. The glories of astronomy. Those happy days I spent communing with Venus in my lonely observatory.
Communing with Venus?
Yes, Venus McCarthy, my assistant. Oh! of course, the planet Venus.
Yes.
Why do you confuse me?
Well, you're always bringing up women, Frank. Is that all you think of?
He's such a boy. However, I was driving to the studio this evening at a moderate rate of speed, accompanied by a charming young lady whose acquaintance I made at a bus stop.
Oh, you pulled right up to a bus stop and picked up a young lady, huh?
I did no such thing. I had to drive around the block four times before she even gave me a tumble.
My apologies.
Accepted. Anyhow, my companion was an unsophisticated bit of spun fluff.
She was, eh?
In fact, she was positively demure, in a primitive sort of a way.
Yes, I know what you mean, Frank. Continue.
Well, I left Beverly Hills driving slowly down Sunset Boulevard on my way to the studio when I picked... I met this young lady and decided to take a shortcut through Pasadena.
Beverly Hills to the studio, and you go through Pasadena?
Yes.
Sounds like you're just wasting time.
Unfortunately, I was. But I didn't know it until I saw a wedding ring. No! You're deliberately trying to confuse me. But imagine if her husband had seen us together. You know, jealousy is a terrible thing.
Well, coming in on a crystal set from Okalachicola... Seems to me, old boy, that you brought the whole thing on yourself.
Oh, well, I wouldn't expect you to understand. As the French say, chacun a son goût.
Is that what they say? Yeah, it's a charming phrase, but it's entirely inappropriate.
What's that, son?
It should have been chacun a son morot.
Ah, morot. Chacun a Condi, do you speak French?
Like a native.
Well... Native. Well, there's an old Swedish expression.
I spent 9 years in Sweden at prep school.
Oh, prep school. Fine country. But I never... I never found it as fascinating as the Orient. When I was in China...
China! Tell me, Frank, do you speak the Ningpo, Shukan, or Ping Chao dialect?
Shukan Chao. Russia! There's a country. Ever been there?
Yes.
Australia?
Yes.
Me too.
Just one is enough. Russia, China, Australia, let's see, Africa. Africa! Have you ever, by any ill-timed stroke of chance, been to the African jungle?
No, I haven't.
Good! Well, I must tell you about the time I was there to bag big game. The natives there tremble at the mere mention of that jungle menace, Simba.
Lion.
What if he is? Let him go on. Go ahead.
Cad. I was determined to catch the ferocious beast alive, and that very night set out through the jungle alone.
Alone?
Entirely alone. Except for 100 native beaters, led by their chief, 5 gun bearers, and 3 bottle boys. It was terrifying. 1,000 jungle noises, green eyes glaring at us out of the darkness. Suddenly, we heard a thunderous crashing in the bush, and a flock of dinosaurs went rushing past us not 100 feet away. I signaled my...
Dinosaurs?
Yes.
I thought dinosaurs were extinct.
Well, they do, but the wind was near... of hacking through the underbrush, my heart gave a leap of joy. I had discovered the spoor of Simba.
You got him now, Frankie boy.
Not yet. I ordered the natives to dig a pit across the lion's tail to the water hole.
Yes?
When it was finished, we covered it with leaves and dead brush, and since we knew Simba would not feed before morning, we returned to camp and retired.
Well, it's about time.
At 5 o'clock in the morning, the entire camp was aroused with the most hideous screeching and howling. Everybody turned out at once, and the native beaters led the way to the pit.
Uh-huh, go on.
The native chief himself, with spear poised, advanced to the edge of the trap and parted the branches. Imagine my feelings as he looked down at the helpless, raging creature within.
It was Simba.
No, it was me. I must have been walking my spear.
Leaving Frank still riding Conti on the Erie, we turned to a letter from 8 sergeants who wrote in from the Middle East for a tune with a Western tang. I think we got it here, and we have the lady to sing it, Nora Lou Martin, and her song is There's a Riding, a Roping Cowboy.
There's a riding, roping cowboy in the moon. Yippee-yi, oh yippee-yay. I can hear him sing a happy cowboy tune. Yippee-yi, oh yippee-yay. Yippee-yay, dee doo 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 dee. Idle dee, idle dee, idle dee. Yippee-yay, dee doo 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 doo. Every night when I'm asleep I hear him as he sings and yodels till dawn, and it seems that I'm so very near him, but when I awake he is gone. There's a ramblin' roamin' cowboy in the moon. Yippee-yi, oh yippee-yay. There's a hootin' shootin' cowboy in the moon. Yippee-yi, yippee-yay.
Nora Lou is an old cowhand who's done plenty of riding and roping on these ranges. I want to stand right here on my two bow legs and say that was powerful, pretty. Powerful. Now, men, as this letter draws toward very truly yours, I'd like to do a number which seems to be high on the request list. It's a real favorite of mine. Here it is.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your day be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white. Thank you. of a white Christmas. With every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases.
Well, men, we've about reached the last page of tonight's mail call letter. Before we sign off, I'd like to toss a verbal bouquet at some 2 million men who run the mightiest repair shop on earth. You can tab them by the ring gear and the three-bladed propeller on their insignia, and their outfit is the biggest division of the Army Air Force, the Air Service Command. And don't kid yourself, these men have a real job on their hands, the job of keeping our air combat forces in the air. You see, the adjusting, remodeling, and inspecting of every airplane used by the Army, both at home and overseas, as well as each plane sent on lend-lease, is their responsibility. For example, after 25 combat missions over Europe, the famous Memphis Belle looks like a brand new B-17. But she looks that way because at one time or another, the Air Service Command has put into this plane 9 new engines, a new wing and tail assembly, and has patched countless bullet holes. Yes, sir, the garage of the air is big business. Here's to the guys who keep it running. The men of the Air Service Command.
Well, fellas, that's the end of our letter for this time. Signatures include Bing Crosby, Frank Morgan, John Brownlee, Nora Lou Martin, John Conte, and yours truly, Harry Von Zell. Another mail call will be coming your way the next time you hear... Mail Call is produced by the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America.